You heard the story about the department store that one Christmas time had two Santas. One of those Santas was for an express line for children that were asking for 9 gifts or less. And then there was a mother that was talking to a friend of hers that said, "This year for Christmas, I was greeted at the door by a jolly bearded fellow with a large bag over his shoulder. It was my son who was coming home from college with his laundry." And then someone else said that there are 4 stages of life that a man goes through. First, he believes in Santa. Second, he does not believe in Santa. Third, he is Santa. And then fourth, he looks like Santa. It was interesting, the whole idea of the nativity scene, I was reading on the news about a high school in northern Indiana that every year has a Christmas spectacular. And part of that Christmas spectacular is to have a live nativity scene. Well, typical of what happens, there were some people in town that objected, and so the ACLU got involved, and there was a federal court that told that high school that they would not be able to have a live nativity scene as part of their Christmas spectacular. And so the night of the spectacular came, and the curtains were raised, and they had a nativity scene, but with mannequins instead of with live people and animals. The school officials said, "Well, we obey the ruling of the federal court." I understand that the whole case will be going back to court on January 7th. Well, this morning, think of the whole what you see when you look at a nativity scene. As you look at the typical nativity scene, who do you see? And what does their presence have to say to us? Well, in a typical nativity scene, the first person that we see is Mary. Mary was the one who brought to the nativity the gift of being willing. Imagine all of the thoughts that must have been racing through her mind when the angel appeared to her and told her that she, even though she was a virgin, was going to have a child. I'm sure she thought of things like, well, how am I going to be able to explain this to Joseph? And what's Joseph going to say? And what's Joseph going to do? And how is Joseph going to respond if he thinks that I have been unfaithful to him? You see, Mary had been put into a very difficult position. I remember one year I was telling the students in my confirmation class that when Mary was pregnant with Jesus, she was about their age, about 14 or 15 years old. And so I asked the girls, what would you do if you had been married? How would you explain it to your parents? What would you say, and how would your parents respond? What would they do if you came home from school one day and said, "Mom and Dad, I'm pregnant and God did it"? Would they believe you? Well, one of the girls, when she was asked how she would handle the situation, said, "Well, I would just wait until Jesus got older and then let him explain it to them." Well, how is Mary, a young 14, 15, engaged but not yet married girl, going to be treated by her community? Certainly in the little town of Nazareth, she was going to be ostracized, and according to Jewish law, she could also be killed. Legally, she could be stoned, and Joseph, the person to whom she was engaged, had the right to throw the first stone. You see, this was a very, very difficult thing that the angel was telling Mary that God wanted her to do. But Mary brought to the manger the gift of being willing. She said to the angel, "Behold, a servant of the Lord, let it be for me according to your word. Let my life happen as God wants it to happen." Mary brought to the manger the gift of being willing. And then we have Joseph. Joseph brought to the manger the gift of faith and obedience. An angel appeared to Joseph and said, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because the child that is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." Remember that Joseph was a very excited, recently engaged man that I'm sure was putting together in his mind hopes and plans and dreams for his new life with Mary. He was thinking about what it was going to be like to be able to start a family. And also, I'm sure he was making plans for the further developing his carpentry business when all of a sudden, his hopes and dreams just came crashing to an end when he realized that Mary was pregnant. He probably felt like he had been pushed over the cliff. Yet the angel told him, go ahead and maintain your relationship with Mary. She's been faithful to you. The child has been conceived by the Holy Spirit. And so Joseph believed what the angel said, and Joseph obeyed. So Joseph brought to the manger the gift of faith and obedience. And then there is the innkeeper. And the innkeeper brought to the manger the gift of shelter and hospitality. Now, we were sharing in the Bible study a couple weeks ago on the Christmas story in Matthew and Luke that another possible translation of the word is that there is no room for them in the guest room of Joseph's family. But let's go with a typical reading of there's no room for them in the inn. Well, if there was an inn, there had to be an innkeeper. There had to be someone who was concerned about this very worried man and this very pregnant woman who offered them what no one else gave them in that crowded town that night, the gift of shelter and a place, a warm place to spend the night. Not premier accommodations, not a hot tub and a heated pool after the difficulties of the journey from Nazareth, and not a hot breakfast buffet in the morning, and not internet access so they could find out what was happening back home in Nazareth, but instead a shelter, a place to stay. Early church tradition says that it was a cave, and it was in that place of shelter where Jesus Christ was born. The innkeeper gave the gift of shelter and hospitality. Then we also see at the manger the shepherds, and they brought the gift of humility. You see, shepherds had a very important job of taking care of sheep, but it really was not a very high-class job. It was a very humble job. They had the responsibility to care for these animals, but angels interrupted their routine and told them of good news, of great joy, a child born in Bethlehem. And the shepherds whose lives had been interrupted by the announcement then went to Bethlehem to check out what had happened. They broke away from their routine of their daily activities and went to find out what had taken place. Then we also see at the nativity scene the wise men. They brought the gift of giving. Now, according to Matthew's study, the wise men did not appear at the same time as the shepherds. Don't want to blow your nativity scene. They came along a little bit later. Matthew tells us that they were not in the cave, but instead back in a house by the time the wise men arrived. But the wise men had been following the star one night at a time, not knowing what that star was going to be leading them until it brought them to Bethlehem, where they saw the child that they had been looking for. When they saw that child, they bowed down and worshipped him and gave him their gifts. Mary and Joseph and the innkeeper and the shepherds and the wise men. We see them in the nativity scene. But do you also see yourself in the nativity scene? Like Mary, are you willing? Are you willing to hear what God has to say to you and how God wants to use you and your life? And are you willing to say along with Mary, behold, a servant of the Lord, let it be with me according to your word. God, the way in which you want to work out your purposes in my life, I am very happy to be a part of your plan. You, along with Joseph, bring the gifts of faith and obedience. When God speaks to you in his word, do you believe him? And do you obey him? Do you do what he says? And like the innkeeper, do you offer at Christmas time and throughout the year the gift of shelter and hospitality? Did you offer hospitality to maybe someone who was alone and feeling very lonely this Christmas season? And like the shepherds, do you offer the gift of humility? When God intervenes in your life, do you break away from your normal activities and check out the good news of great joy? Or do you miss out the whole meaning of the season of Christmas? Like the wise men, do you follow the light as God has given it to you? And you follow that light until it brings you to Bethlehem, to Jesus. And when you see him, do you bow down and worship him? And you give him your best? Mary and Joseph and the innkeeper and the shepherds and the wise men, we see all of them in the manger scene. that we also see ourselves in the nativity scene. But is there also any other way in which maybe this Christmas season we can see ourselves in the nativity scene? 21 years ago, there were two American businessmen who were given an invitation by the Russian government to come and teach biblical morals and ethics. Morals and ethics from a biblical perspective in the schools in Russia. They accepted eagerly that invitation. They were also invited to tell about Christmas at an orphanage where there were about 100 boys and girls who had been abused and abandoned, who had been placed there in the care of a government-run program. And so the men from America who were visiting Russia knew that for many of those children, maybe it was going to be the first time, because they were there at Christmas time, they wanted to tell them the Christmas story. They knew that for most, if not all of those children, it was going to be the first time that they had heard the story of Christmas, Jesus' birth. And so they told the story, and they found that as they were doing so, the children of the staff were just sitting there listening with wide-eyed amazement, taking in every word. At the end of telling the story, they then provided material for each one of those 100 children, orphan children, to be able to make their own manger. Then they walked around to see if there were any children that needed any help with their construction project. They noticed that there was one little orphan, a 6-year-old boy by the name of Misha, that had not one but instead two infants, lying in the manger. They wondered what was going on, and so they called for one of the interpreters so that they would be able to ask little Misha why he had two babies in the manger. And so Misha started to explain why. And he started to tell the Christmas story most seriously. And the two Americans were amazed that a 6-year-old who had only heard the Christmas story once in his entire life was able to tell it so completely and so accurately. He told the story as he had heard it, but when he got to the place where Mary placed baby Jesus in the manger, he began to ad-lib. And he says, Mary placed the infant Jesus in the manger, and then Jesus looked up at me, and he asked me if I had a place to stay. And I told baby Jesus, no, I don't. Jesus, I don't have a mommy, and I don't have a daddy, and so I don't have a place to stay. And so then Jesus said that I could stay with him. And I told Jesus, well, I'd love to be able to stay with you, but I don't have any gift to be able to offer you like all the other people do. And if I don't have a gift, how can I be able to stay with you? Well, I wanted to be able to stay with Jesus so much so that I thought, well, what is it that I might be able to give? And I thought, well, maybe if I kept baby Jesus warm, that would be a good enough gift. And so I asked Jesus if he would like me to help him stay warm, and Jesus said, well, yes, if you were to do that, then you'd be giving me the very best gift that I have yet received. And so I crawled in the manger with Jesus. And then Jesus told me that I could stay with him forever and for always. And then at that point in telling the story, tears came to his eyes, and he put his hand over his face, and he then put his head down on the table, and his shoulders were shaking as he was sobbing. You see, here was a 6-year-old orphan by the name of Misha who had met for the first time someone who had never abused him or abandoned him, hurt him or leave him, but instead had promised to be with him forever. Really, that's the good news of Christmas, the good news of great joy. That in the birth of Jesus, we have someone who will never hurt us or abuse us or abandon us or leave us. But instead, someone who has told us that he has come to be with us always and forever. And if we place our trust and faith in him, then we can go to heaven and be with him forever. Who do you see in the nativity scene? Mary and the gift of being willing. Joseph and the gift of faith and obedience. The innkeeper and the gift of shelter and hospitality. The shepherds and the gift of humility, and the wise men and the gift of giving. This morning, do you also see yourself? And how do you see yourself in the nativity scene. Amen. Let's stand and sing the carol, What Child.